You're listening to Below the Yellow Line podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Below the Line, post-Iowa edition. Ryan Blaney gets his first win of the year, the first race at the Iowa Speedway, the inaugural race. You know, it's pretty late. This was a night race, so, you know, we're tired.
It was,
but go ahead, jump in, give your thoughts, Emily.
It was pretty wild. There were a lot of cautions, a lot of flat tires, a lot of issues with some really big drivers. Some maybe that we picked this week for winning. It did not work out for them, but Blaney with the win, his first win for the season. Thought Byron might pull it away,
but he didn't.
Yeah, Blaney avenges his heartbreaking defeat in St. Louis. I was on pit road at the end of that race, and I took a video of him getting out of the car. I'd never seen a man so defeated at the end of a race before, but avenges that today with, you know, if you didn't hear it on the broadcast, there were 80 friends and family in attendance, which is a lot of people to celebrate with.
Quite something to see in the audience there.
Yeah, it was. The matching shirts really, really sold it.
Hard to miss.
Exactly. I think the turning point of this race, at least in my eyes, though, was when the dominant car of the day, Kyle Larson, who was my pick, who I kind of badly needed to win for our pick points, but when Kyle Larson was like, what, four wide off of turn four with Hamlin and Suarez.
Maybe I called it. I was like, oh, they're about to crash.
Yeah, and you did call it. And what happens?
And they did.
Yeah, Suarez gets a little squirrely, gets into Larson. Larson's in the wall. Hamlin had damage too. And
Larson spun a couple times, hit a couple different times, front, back. He was all sorts of screwed up. He tried, but it just didn't work out for him.
And the difference between Larson and Hamlin is, you know, Hamlin was having a horrible day. The car was just junk today, I think. You know, that's fair to say. Yeah, just no speed in that number 11 car, which is not something you ever see at most any race, yes. Especially not at a short track where Hamlin won Richmond earlier in the year. He also won Dover, and he won Bristol. He'd won three short oval races. Today we thought that could be another good day for him, but it wasn't. So before we talk about Larson, because I think I should talk about Larson because I picked him and it didn't work out. And I'm a little sad about that. But, Emily, I want you to kind of take us through this day as a Denny Hamlin fan or as a Denny Hamlin, you know, he's your guy, right? He's kind of the guy. So take me through it from Denny Hamlin because he's a star driver. He's a guy that you always have your eye on. What was it like to watch him today just kind of not show up? It was weird. It was odd.
It was strange. And Samuel and I were watching the race, and Denny, he didn't start too far back. I mean, he was in the teens, and he just suddenly just kind of slowly started going back. And I'm like, what's going on? But nothing really major was happening. His car wasn't fast. And a couple of good pit strategies, and he was able to get back up towards the front closer, not leading, before the big crash happened with Larson. And that Suarez kind of got into him. And, that was kind of the end of that. He was able to stay on that lead lap, but, It just didn't work out for him. It wasn't his day, for sure. And, you know, at one time he was even down a lap.
Two?
I think he got two down at one point because like on pace, too. Maybe that was after the crash, but he was one down on pace at least for like three quarters of this race. It was a weird day for that.
It was strange. So he was just kind of up and down and then, you know, ended on the downside. But unfortunately, wasn't his day. Not for Larson either, though. So tell us what your thoughts are on Larson.
Yeah, so, you know, you picked Denny to win this race, and, you know, you had a lot of confidence in him. I had a lot of confidence in Kyle Larson because he's finished, I think, top 10 in 9 of the last 10 short track races, one at Richmond last year, one at Martinsville last year, and he did the tire test in May, I think the week leading into the race in St. Louis. He did that test along with Bell and Keselowski. They were pegged as favorites for this race as well. I nearly picked Bell. And I had a lot of faith in Larson. Goes out and beats, ironically, Blaney for the pole yesterday, barely. And I think it's his fourth pole of the year. He just won Sonoma, coming off that week where it was all waiver talk, and he finally got that off his back, dominated in Sonoma. And it's like, oh, well, here we go again, 2021 all over again. This was a quintessential Kyle Larson stomped the field into the ground race until it wasn't, until he got involved in that crash. I don't remember what lap that happened. I want to say it was around maybe like 210, 222 something.
Yeah. It was in the last, like, probably third of the race, kind of there.
Yeah, I would say that's right. So, you know, it's unfortunate for him. He does lose the regular season points lead to Chase Elliott. That's probably the biggest thing out of that, aside from, you know, of course, being taken out of contention for the win. Would have been his fourth win of the year, five more playoff points. I think he won stage two, I think. He won one of the stages. Just had an insanely fast car, and he was the only guy. Guys could pass tonight. There was a lot of passing. Good race, in my opinion. Yeah. I know you're not always the biggest fan of short tracks.
I tend to prefer long tracks.
Yeah, but this one, it was just different for him because you see, he was able to come from like 32nd. He had a tire issue. He had to pit when there was really nothing wrong with the tire, which was weird. But he comes flying through the field. Everybody was able to pass tonight. They just weren't able to pass like that five car. And then especially once you get him in the lead, in the clean air, it was over. Or at least I thought it was over. You get him in traffic, you know, as they say, if you're back with the squirrels, you're going to get hit by a nut. And, you know, I think that was really a racing deal. Maybe you can pin the blame on Suarez, but I think it's, you know, when you're four wide on the front stretch at a short track, not always going to end well. Although they did go five wide there at one point tonight.
Yeah, looking at it, I mean, it was just it was a wreck waiting to happen. It really was.
Well, you called it off turn four. You say, oh, they're going to crash, and lo and behold, they crashed. Yeah, that was, I think, the turning point. Now, obviously, the last pit stop where Blaney took two tires, got ahead of everybody, was the ultimate turning point. And you mentioned it, you know, Byron was out there. Byron reeled him in.
I kept thinking Byron was going to make the pass. I really did. I thought that he might pull it off and go for the fourth win this week. Blaney snagged it, though.
He did. And, you know, Byron was able to reel Blaney in a few times, got it down to like 0.4 seconds, I think. But Blaney was just able to cut through traffic much more efficiently than Byron. He was able to get by the, you know, the faster cars, the cars fighting for their lap, when Byron wasn't quite able to. And that, I think, was the deciding factor. Mm-hmm. So, I think when it comes down to it, Blaney just had the better car in traffic. Byron didn't. And, you know, it did look for a while like Byron was somehow, as he has all season, going to be the benefactor of the best car going out. Not say he hasn't. I mean, I guess Coda, he just whipped the field there. But it seems like Byron just kind of creeps up on you. You know, there are races where he has a top three car and he drives a great race. Tonight kind of felt like Martinsville, where he's just going to hang around in the top five, top 10 all day. And when the time comes, he's going to answer the bell and he's going to win. And it didn't pan out. And Ryan Blaney, I think, tonight drove one of the best races he's driven in his career. Won stage one, beat out Kyle Larson for that stage win when it looked like Larson was dominant early. But yeah, talk a little bit before we talk about Josh Berry and some of these other guys I want to highlight. Talk about what this mean wins for Blaney. First of the year, locked into the playoffs. Big momentum for the defending champ.
You've got a great racer that has kind of had some downfalls in the season, hadn't been able to pull off that win. So to pull it off at this point, especially when we're, you know, in the second half of the season and really getting into some huge races, and it's time to make moves to be the 10th Cup Series winner this season, he needed that.
Yeah, he did. And I think he would have been fine on points to make the playoffs, but you never know. You know, enough guys win and you could be shuffled that cut line. Exactly. We saw that. Blaney was the benefactor of that in 2022, where he, I think, beat, it was Truex by like 5 points in the regular season finale. You never want to cut it too close because in modern day NASCAR, chaos reigns supreme. And, you know, you cut it too close and, you know, again, you hang around with the squirrels, you're going to get hit by a nut. And in that case, the nut would be knocked out of the playoffs, and nobody wants that, especially not the defending NASCAR champion. So big win for Ryan Blaney. I want to mention Josh Berry. He only finishes in seventh, but he drove the race of his career. I want you to lead with this one, Emily. What'd you see from Josh Berry tonight?
Well, we saw some leading of the race. At one point, Samuel's like, he's going to pull this off. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. And while it didn't work out for him, a top 10 finish is great. You want me to go through the top 16 results and to share kind of how some of these guys finished out? So we know we have Blaney in first, Byron in second, followed by Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Stenhouse Jr., Logano, Berry in seventh. Bowman was in eighth, Suarez in ninth. That crash didn't get him. Chastain in 10th, followed by Keselowski, Gilliland, Haley, Hosvar, Truex Jr., and Gregson.
Yeah, Stuart Haas tonight had a much-needed, decent day. I think, you know, Gregson there in 16th, he was fastest in practice, we thought, and NBC thought, too, on the pre-race show that he could be one of the guys that was in the mix to win, and while he wasn't quite that, he still had a decent run, especially needed that after a rough last couple weeks. But Barry, you mentioned a lot of leading, a lot of aggression, too. He's not typically a elbows-up guy, but he was brought up on the short tracks. Tracks like Iowa are where he cut his teeth. They're where he excelled. He won his first Xfinity race at Martinsville in 2021. A short track ace brought to the Cup Series, brought to Stuart Haas Racing for that reason. He can win the races. He can win the tough races, especially. He can win those. And he didn't quite get it done tonight. I don't think he had a winning car. I think that was a product of track position, clean air. But he did drive, in my opinion, the best race of his Cup Series career. And he got the finish, too. And You know, his playoff positioning is kind of in jeopardy. Probably going to need a win in these last nine regular season races to make the postseason. But I think tonight was a huge step forward in the right direction. Two Trackhouse cars in the top 10. You mentioned the wreck didn't get Suarez. He finishes ninth. A much needed good day.
Gave him a little love tap and moved on.
Yeah, he did. He said, all right, well, you know, let's just wreck the favorite and skedaddle. Chastain, a much needed 10th. Alex Bowman in 8th. The worst of the Hendrick cars that finished tonight, but the worst of the Hendrick cars that, you know, weren't crashed tonight, but still another solid, consistent run. And Justin Haley, I mean, call him Lee Petty, Mr. Consistency. He's not always getting the results, but he's just running so much better than that Rick Ware car has ever run. And P13 ran as high as, I think, 7th or 8th tonight, continues to impress. He's going to have a few car owners, maybe even Brad Keselowski, knocking on his door, calling his cell phone before this season is out. Josevar, a great run as a rookie. Truex, not the race he wanted on the weekend that he announced his retirement.
Driver.
Future professional Bass Fisher.
That's right. He's going to spend all his time at Bass Pro. We just know it.
Going to spend all his time on the lake. Do you want to go through 17th through 33rd, Emily?
Yeah. So in 17th, we have Bubba Wallace, 18th, Buescher, 19th, Dillon, followed by Burton, LaJoy, Reddick, and McDowell. 24th place, my man, Denny Hamlin. Yeah, I was hoping for a better finish for my pick this week, but unfortunately not. Gibbs, Nemechek, Priest, Briscoe, Hemric, Cindric, Smith, Jones.
Grala, Kaz Grala in 33rd.
I was looking, I'm like, where's the rest of everybody there on the different ticker? Sorry.
Kyle Larson, 34th. Kyle Busch, 35th. The Kyle and Kyle show did not go as planned. And AJ Allmendinger, a horrible weekend for him. I think he finished like 37th in the Xfinity race yesterday, blew a tire, and the same result today. He just finishes one spot better because there was two less cars in the race. So not a weekend to remember for AJ Allmendinger. I do want to mention Kyle Busch. He had a very, not the spiciest interview he's ever had, certainly. We've heard him have much spicier. But Kyle Busch, he was not happy. You know, talked about it. Next-gen car, you know, just next-gen parts. And
kind of blaming the car a little bit.
Yeah. What does this mean for his season, though, Emily? He just drops further. I think he's around 28, 30 points out of the playoffs now. I think he's going to get – I just don't see a world where Kyle Busch misses the playoffs. He hasn't done that since, I think, 2012, when only 12 drivers made it, not 16. Yeah. Doesn't have winning speed. It's can't crazy. Find a result. Has the worst luck imaginable, it seems, even on a night where he had top 10 speed. Is there any hope right now for a number 18 that just continues to dig a deeper and deeper hole every single week?
I mean, I feel like you can't say the hope is lost because, we know he's capable, right? But he's got to be feeling defeated.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, after getting wrecked at Gateway, after getting spun on the last lap, after nearly having a top five at Sonoma, after, you know, tonight having a decent run, having a decent car, and then it just all goes down the toilet in the closing laps. It's just one thing after another this year for Kyle Busch, and it's really, really unfortunate. Before we go look at the standings, which we hope are updated, we do want to give you a quick reminder. Follow us on X at BTYLPod to get information, see links for shows, and you can also follow me. I'll be retweeting those BTYLPod tweets, making sure you guys watch these shows, and you'll see articles of mine and other stuff over there. We're going to let those top 16 results continue to scroll on your screen as we see whether or not these standings are updated. Let's see, ESPN, are you going to come in clutch for us? Yes, you are. So Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, William Byron, still with 3 wins. Chris Trebell, the lone man with 2. Reddick, Keselowski, Blaney, Suarez, and Cindric are the guys with 1. 10 guys locked into the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. And then you have Martin Truex, just steady Eddie, plus 127. I think he's going to make the playoffs quite easily. We said that in 2022, though, and that didn't turn out very well.
That's true. It makes it difficult when it's happened in the past.
Ross Chastain is in 12th on the playoff grid. He is plus 76. Ty Gibbs right with him, plus 75. Then you have Alex Bowman, plus 71. Chris Buescher, plus 28. Bubba Wallace came into the weekend, plus 8 at a track type, a short track that he's not typically great at. He leaves only giving up 3 points to the cut line. So I think that has to be considered a success. He's the last man in right now, plus 5. Joey Logano, the first man out, minus 5. And then there's the man we were just talking about, Kyle Busch, minus 26 in 18th. Can't feel good for Rowdy to see his name.
It's crazy.
crazy to see Logano and Busch.
Yeah, two-time champions, just not where they typically are. Chase Briscoe was running as high as, I think, second or third early on in this race. And then I don't know what happened to that 14 car. It just kind of fell off a cliff late, and it didn't look like the same car that it was in stage one. He really needed a big result. Two straight weeks where that 14 just, you know, he had a chance going in Sonoma. He was above the cut line. He was the last man in headed to Sonoma, and he's lost 38 points over these last two weekends. Not in a position to do so. He's actually lost, he's lost 48 points over these last two weekends. He's minus 38 in 19th. Todd Gilliland is 20th, minus 96, kind of taking over the spot that Michael McDowell held. He was 20th, yeah. Minus 93. So I think 20th on down probably needs a win to make the playoffs, Emily. But, you know, it's still good to see. You know, top 20 is still quite an accomplishment for a driver that's still coming into his own, the Leaner's third year in the Cup Series. Michael McDowell, just a day today that went from really good to really bad to, all right, we're going to salvage something to, well, crud. We ended up near the bottom of the results sheet. He's now 21st in points, and he is now let me do that math. He is now 99 points out of the playoffs. Josevar in 22nd, leading Josh Berry, his fellow rookie, by 3 points. Berry drops down to 23rd. Noah Gregson in 24th. Ricky Stenhouse, 25th. Emily, would you like to read off 26th through 30th?
Sure. We've got Eric Jones, followed by Ryan Preece, John Hunter Nemechek, Corey LaJoy, Daniel Hemric, Justin Haley, followed by Austin Dillon, Harrison Burton, Zane Smith, Kaz Grella, Jimmy Johnson. Do you want me to stop here?
That's good. That's good. You know, we don't have to include Jimmy.
People who aren't, unfortunately, running every race.
Yeah, good to see Kaz Grella back in the car. So Zane Smith now is 34th. He is. How many points out of the playoffs is he? Looks to be about 200 and, I think, 250. My math is a little off here, but could be a little off here. Hopefully not. But around 250 out. I think 20th on down, probably in a must win, but it's going to be a really interesting cut line over these next few weeks. Briscoe can pop off at any time. He's only 38 back. Busch and Logano, two-time champions, they can win anywhere, and then the cut line's all messed up.
Oh, man, it would be a mess.
You know, we were talking about that NBC show, The Grid, when Barry was leading, and, you know, Bubba was below it by 30 points, and now it's Busch on the bubble, and that puts Busch and Logano further back. So one winner from below the cut line, which we saw happen in St. Louis with Austin Cindric, moves guys from feeling good, feeling comfortable to, oh, we're gonna, you know, we're feeling a little nervous now. We got some butterflies in the stomach. So 9 races remain in the regular season, 19 races remain in the overall season. Emily, do you know where we're going next?
I sure do. We are headed to New Hampshire on June 23rd.
Everybody's going to be battling for the lobster there in Loudoun, in New Hampshire. That race, I believe, is at 2:30 Eastern. So an afternoon race there. And then we head to, where do we go to after Nashville. And then Chicago.
And then the big Chicago Street Race.
I'll be there covering that race for Yard Barkers. So that'll be a fun time.
See you guys there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why anybody would recognize me, but if you run into me in the infield or wherever I'll be, you know, come say hi.
Come get his autograph.
Gosh, no, please don't. Please, you not anywhere near autograph status yet. So 17 races down in the Cup Series season, 19 to go after Loudoun. We will officially be halfway through. We thank you for spending the first half of the 2024 NASCAR season with us. We'll have you covered for Xfinity and Cup Series coverage next week. Emily and I will be back with you later this week to preview New Hampshire and, of course, to recap it next Sunday night. So, Emily, thank you for joining me.
Of course.
I should thank you to join me.
I love our post-race shows every week.
I should thank me for joining you. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's late. My brain ain't braining right now.
Teamwork.
But exactly. Hey, teamwork makes the dream work. So we will see you guys later. Follow us on X at BTYL Pod, at Below the Line on YouTube, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. That is Emily. I am Samuel Subs from Below the Line. We will see you guys later. Goodbye.
See you next week.